soul says yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes to your way. Yes to your will. Yes to trusting you. Yes to obeying you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My soul says yes, Lord. Well, good evening. Good evening. Good evening to you, 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 and yes, even you. You are tuned in to the 6 Hours Motivational Monday with yours truly. Well, my Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, it is my pleasure to be with you in your homes, wherever you may be, all across the length and breadth of this whole entire world. I'm so glad to be with you on this wonderful Monday evening. And if you're listening to this on demand or some other time, whatever time that I have entered into your life, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share some things with you. Today, this evening, we're going to be talking about not allowing stress to overcome you. Amen. We're going to be dealing with stress and pressure. We're going to be dealing with that. So before I get into it, I want you to, you got time to contact those family members that you may know that's dealing with stress right now, and it's hard on them. And you're trying to give them some advice, or you just want to hear, let them hear some other encouraging things. Amen. So get them on the line. Get them to tune in. Amen. Call them on your three-way and lock them in with you. Just put your phone on mute. Amen. But if you like to, if you got any comments or anything, any questions, when I ask those questions, all you got to do is press 1 on your dial, and you'll be right. I'll open up your mic and give you that opportunity when that session arrives of Q&A. But right now, I would like to ask you, how do you feel? I know we oftentimes, I'll say that to people, we say, good evening, how you doing? Or, hello, how you doing? Good morning, is everything okay? Time when we make those remarks, we keep on keeping on whatever we're doing. We don't pause to hear the response, because most times the response is a robotic response. It's something that automatic. Oh, I'm all right. Okay, everything's fair to middling. You know, I'd be all right. You know, they are non-true emotional feelings. But this session of the program, when I ask you how are you doing, what's your mental, I'm asking because I would like to know why. Is Brother Bonnet nosy? No. Brother Bonnet believed that when we develop healthy outlets, we can learn to release stress. Amen. When the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens, well, if I don't know them, how can I bear them? So I can't help with what I don't know. And even able to resolve it, I am able to pray with you, and I am able to pray for you. And I read it somewhere in my Bible. I know it's there because I read it for my one self. And I challenge you to find it. It says, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Well, what make Brother Bonnet righteous? Simple. He agrees with the word of God. It's not all, not none of his deeds. It is his agreement, his alignment with God's holy word. That's what made me righteous. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for my life, that covered me from all unrighteousness, that's what made me right. I am in agreement with what God has called sin is sin. And I can't take it back. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to subtract from it. And that what's making me righteous. And guess what? It'll make you righteous too if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you agree with the Bible. There's a danger when we go and begin to speak against the Bible.
I remember, and excuse me for sidebarring here, but I just want to call it to all those of you that read the Bible or heard certain stories in the Bible. There's a particular scene where Jesus was telling his disciples all about the things that was about to happen to them, to him, rather. And Peter, hearing Jesus saying that he was going to die and hearing all the bad things that was going to happen to him, Peter gets beside himself and had an idea, a notion, and it probably came from the depth of his heart. But I want you to listen to this scenario, what happened. After Jesus was telling his disciples what he had to endure, Peter called himself, pulling Jesus to the side, and reprimanding Jesus. Can you imagine that? He said, Jesus, you sure you're not going to die? No, God forbid, no. We're going to die before you. We'll die first before you die. You know, and we don't know all the depth of that conversation. All we know is Peter, in his zeal, the man Christ, for saying that he must die after only being in ministry 3.5 years. He said, nah, this thing, we finna roll with this. I mean, we finna take the world. Nah. Jesus looked at him, who will soon be chief apostle, but he's still now just a disciple. He says to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Hold on, my Jesus. Did you just call Peter Satan? Now, that's what the Bible said that he said to Peter. And he said to Peter, you're not saying the things that be of God. You're saying the things that be of the devil. Wow. Wow. Here's a man that loved God with all his heart. And God had to deal with him because although he meant well, anything that's contrary to the will of God is evil, is sin. And the thing that was seen like something that should have been said, something that should have been stopped, them assassinating Jesus, them killing Jesus, them having him crucified, we can all agree from a surface point that would have been a valiant, a bold, and brave, courageous stand to make and to take. But it was God's plan for Jesus Christ to die for the sins of humanity. He had to be the perfect sacrifice because all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was none righteous. So he had to take on the sins of humanity. And what is sin? Sin is anything contrary to God's will. I know we don't like that because we don't want to think of ourselves as sinful people. We all want to follow that cliche, well, I'm a good person, I'm good in my heart. And the Bible said the heart of man is boogie knowing. Now, that's what the Bible said. Don't get mad at me. Don't start listening to me with that tone, that attitude. Stop it. Because then you're behaving like Peter. You're denying God's word and God's will. And by doing that, you are responding like the devil. I know you don't like that. Don't feel comfortable. But who are we to speak against the creator of all that is. That settles it. Ain't got nothing to do with what you believe. Ain't got nothing to do with how we feel. And we sure enough can't vote on it. God has no election process. This election process is he points you to do this, he called you to do that, he told me to do this over here, he told you to do that over there. That's what he said, that settles it. Now, what happens after that determines whether or not we're walking in obedience or disobedience. Period. That's the end of it. That's the gist of it. And if we want to have happier lives, it is more in our favor to just obey God's will. I heard it like this. I reckon the suffering of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I heard somebody else say it like this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So we got to have a faith in God's word. If he said it, that settles it. He's a just God. He never tells us to do what we cannot do. He never put a demand on us that he has not made a supply for. He hasn't made provision for it to be done. God told you to build something great, and you look and you say, well, all I have is a fruit trees. Well, that's all Adam had. Adam was in the garden. And the Lord told him he could eat from all the garden. He got in trouble. Him and Eve got kicked out. And they still had a whole bunch of trees, a whole bunch of fruit and vegetables. But they had to eat on the ground. And one day somebody said, you know, why are we eating on the ground? Lord, do something about it. Lord said, I did. I gave y'all trees. And then somebody said, well, how are we going to get these trees down? Well, I also gave you ore in the earth. Go on, go. Put your hand to it. Everything that we need was already provided. And all we had to do was use the informational highway he gave us in our brain to resolve problems or what we thought was problems. But he had already given us solutions. And he had already made provision for us to do it. I can imagine Henry Ford back in the day saying, man, I wish I could travel faster than a horse. Man, I wish we had something, these carriages that we had. Man, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if they could move twice as fast? One, if it's possible that we can make a device that will make these wheels move without a horse, then we wouldn't have to clean up so much around the street. But what am I going to make it out of? He had to go to the earth and begin to dig. Got him some ore and began to make metal. And he found out he can bend it and shape it and cause it. It can do all kinds of things. And before you knew it, we had a Model T. And somebody was riding around in the first automobile. And said, everybody else said, how that buggy moving? Man, and he is moving good, though. God has given us all vision, purpose. We just have to have the boldness to go after what he's given us and to follow through. He told the children of Israel, you can conquer this land. I've already given Egypt for a ransom for you, and the land that I'm taking you to, I want you to go in and possess that land. Well, look at it for me. And come back and tell you how good it is. 10 people went out. 2 of them said, man, we going to have a party over here. This is going to be it. Man, we going to enjoy life. But the other 10 said, man, do you see the people here? They bigger than us. Man, this can't be where God sent us. Man, Moses done got us out here, and, man, we finna make a spectacle of us. Man, we finna, our existence is finna go out. Man, we could have died the way we was. We done came all this way. Man, what we gonna eat? I'm hungry now. And they begin to complain. The Bible says that 2 came back with good report, and 10 had a evil report. Not a bad report. Evil. Not a misinformed report. Evil. It was evil because God told them that belonged to you, and they said, no, it don't belong to us. No, we can't do that. Caution you. Be careful when we begin to say things different from what God has said. There's a danger behind that because it's not that we're questioning how we can get the job done, but we're questioning whether or not God can do it through us.
Those 10 were saying, can't touch this.
I like it. So let me fall back on, how's your mental? How you feeling today? I hear your missionary Ken Wolfgang. Wolfman, oh, how you feel today, sir?
I'll give you a howl out to you. I'm doing 2 thumbs up. My wings are spread. My halo's straight. Now I'm ready to go.
Love it. How is your wife doing this evening? You know, we've been praying for her.
She's still not feeling too kosher. She's got an unspoken request. Definitely could use prayer.
Amen. And we would definitely surrender that prayer and offer that prayer over to the good Lord who is able to do all things but fail. Amen. So he is able. Anyone else? I thought I heard 6 eyes earlier.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How you doing?
I'm here, sir. I am here this evening. Feeling all right. Two thumbs up, feeling okay today. 2 thumbs up and 2 paws up for trumpet.
But we know Trumpet is living a life, you know what I mean? He got you taking care of him, and he probably wants for nothing.
Yeah, trying to give him a good life.
Yeah, man. But Trumpet is loving it. He got his flea collar on. He ain't worrying about nothing, eating up at him. You know, him doing good.
Yeah, so good. He's been trying to eat my food for the last 2 days. I had a fish dinner. We almost had to fight over that. He almost tried to get that. And spaghetti, he tried to get that. So I said, well, I'm going to fix you.
Wow.
So I got his food first, because when I came over there with my food, I said, no, this is for me.
Yeah.
So put my food down, got his little pate food, and we sat there and ate together.
Yeah, Trumpet, he was looking at the wrong movie. This is not Lady and the Tramp. Y'all not sharing a plate of spaghetti and meatballs. No.
Yeah. Yeah. He be trying to eat my food, though.
And so 6 was saying the same thing. Can't touch this. Doom, do, 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 do.
Yes.
That's right. Hands off. That's it. That's it. Amen. Let's see here. Whoever we got, just open up your mic there, 404. How you doing? Good evening. How you feeling? What's your mental?
I am blessed. Thank you very much. Queen Nye in the building.
All right. All right. It's definitely good to hear you.
Yes. Two thumbs up.
How's those knees feeling today?
Woo. A little bit better.
Okay. So okay. That's what we want.
Starting off the week pretty good with those falls. My therapist worked me out good today on my upper body. And, that part.
Okay. Okay. Well, look. We ain't going to be too scared of you as you develop those good biceps and triceps and,
I used to have those strong muscles and we used to lift weights up and track. So, when I did all of that, but as you lose weight, you got to remember to keep that protein going.
Oh, yeah. You need that. Need that protein to develop those actual muscle cells and to keep them energized. You definitely need that protein. Well, I am doing.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And Diamond is a very spoiled, beautiful cat. And he's got four paws up.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I wonder if, because, I know that Emily be having cats and different things. Maybe we need a cat. You know how a lot of churches, they do little modern things. They let the kids do model. They model clothes. They model their little outfits to do get together. Stuff like that. I think we can do a cat modeling at the group of y'all. You know, y'all put on a little cat show.
Oh, boy.
You know, come up with a different little cat shoes, little cat bow tie, little cat whatever, you know.
Yeah. Mine is.
We're
going to
see if
Trumpet
may get some dreads or something. I don't know. We just see.
Yeah. Trumpet won't even keep his collar on, so that's a whole nother ball game. But
Trumpet wants the kids like the boys back in the day, you give them a bath and to the church over there. They throw the tie to the side and they running out there and jumping in the dirt and wallowing in the mud. Getting back dirty.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I think Trumpet must have been in the military because he loves to march on my feet.
He does. I witnessed it. That cat is funny.
Yeah, so we're waiting on the catwalk from all the different cats.
and Pastor Bonnet, he's a talker.
I believe it.
He's a talker.
I believe it. You know, he has been. You did adopt him, so he must be a talker.
Yeah, right now he's asleep, but. He's going to be ready to talk tonight.
Well, that's what kept him up all night last night. This is the thing. He don't want you to wake the cat up during the day, but Trumpet will talk his head off all night long. Meow, meow, meow. So he don't talk, don't get any sleep, but he don't want you to wake the cat up. I said, you better wake that cat up.
You know, my kids tried to do that when they were babies and they want to wake up in the middle of the night. So when they went sleep during the day, I would wake them up. I was like, ah, wake up, and I'll shake them. I said, man, what you doing? I said, if he ain't gonna let me sleep, I ain't gonna let him sleep. And guess what? So they started sleeping when I slept, and they got up when I got up. It worked real good.
Yeah, so I was figuring out, let him keep on letting sleep during the day.
You're going
to talk all night long.
So will.
Oh, we have trumpet wake up. Whoa!
That's it.
That's it.
Look, King used to do that. I woke up one night, and King was just making noise. Spare the rod, spoil the child. I believe in that. I read it in the Bible. I think about the second or third time I did it, he realized if I came to the door and turned that nightlight on, he dropped his head, came back to the doghouse. I guess I need to hush.
Hey, man, and somebody has a birthday tomorrow.
Yes.
So we want to say happy early birthday to our very own Pastor Bonnet. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, because of my age, I've been celebrating all month long. Today I went to a restaurant called Poke World. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Poke World. I want to give them two thumbs up. A 5-star rating. The food was excellent. My wife is tripping on me because she said, she done called my sons and said, your daddy done went and ate a meal and then went back up there and ordered something to take home.
There you go.
She said, you must really like this place.
Amen. Amen. And you share a birthday with another 6 Eyes teammate.
I do.
Yeah. Now Pride and Joy's birthday is tomorrow too.
Oh, okay. Well, happy birthday, Pride and Joy. I love it. That's the best time to have a birthday. Will Smith just had his birthday. He and I share the same age. His was today. His birthday is today, one day before mine. So we're the same age, one day apart. You know.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if we had about the same money. You know, about $2 apart. That'd been good.
Yeah.
But nevertheless.
Yeah, so you share a birthday with Papa Six Eyes. You share a birthday with Papa Six Eyes. You share a birthday with Ray Charles, which is on the 23rd. You share a birthday with Alfonso Rivera, which is on the 21st.
Uh-huh. Yep,
and
he's about, he's 53, I think.
Yeah. And you share a birthday today with share a birthday a day before Will Smith.
Yeah. So
Will
so
Smith's birthday the day before
there.
Yours.
You know, all the September babies out there, we are babies of those who really enjoyed the Christmas season. We are the byproduct of those who lost themselves in the Christmas. My wife likes to remind me that every now and then. Yeah. Let me tell you, stop talking about my mama. But it's true.
Hey, my sister was born September 20th, and so was my late cousin Ellis, and my sister shares the same birthday on September 20th as Debbie Morgan, who's related to me as well.
Mm. And my sister-in-law, her birthday was on Friday, the 22nd. Amen. It's funny because, you know, family-wise, you know, we make these jokes, the inside jokes, but my brother and his wife and myself and my wife, my brother and my wife, both of their birthdays are 2 days apart, same month, which is August. My wife is on the 6th, his is on the 8th. And then his wife and myself, birthdays in September, hers on the 22nd and mine's on the 26th. And the thing that we laugh about is our taste in things, or what are so similar out of us, and yet we're very different, but the similarities of certain things are so funny. It has been a long term running joke between between the family. So y'all know y'all like that, and so I said, well, it is what it is. It doesn't happen too many times, and so. It just, and then on top of that, was what people laugh about is my brother's wife, my sister-in-law, her name is Lakeisha, like my wife's name. They spelled different, but both of them names are Lakeisha. And so it's funny. It's funny when we get together as family. So
that's who we talked at first.
Yeah, people ask, and what's funny about that is they grew up nearly in the same neighborhood, like a major street over from one another. My wife grew up on I ain't gonna give a street name, but she grew up in a main street that brings you into that area. And my sister-in-law grew up, which would be one street over, you know, two blocks, and in the same neighborhood. So we all of them shared the same convenience store, all of that stuff. So they same schools, all of that. So people say, how y'all do that? And it wasn't that they was they knew of one another, but you know, it was just funny, you know. So people said, "Man, how y'all manage that one?" And I said, "Well, look, man, when God is in the mix, anything can happen. That's all I can tell you."
Amen. But
yeah, I'm feeling good. I enjoyed my love, and when I say polk, I'm saying P-O-K-E, not pork. So, and the food is very healthy, so it's real good. What I like was their teas, their drinks, and their teas are flavored teas. They're black tea, green tea, one of those teas, and they have flavor with them. But they have these little flavor bombs in them, little flavor balls, where you can get the bubbles that are either made of jelly or some other crackling material where it cracks, or they have little balls that are made of like brown sugar. And so it's mixed in with the tea, so as you have to drink it with a straw with a big open, because those little bubbles comes up while you're drinking it, and they burst in your mouth and just add a lot of flavor, depending on which flavor you choose. So it was a very unique experience. So if you got one close to your area, someone that does that, these little poke world with these little flavor bomb teas, that it was very, very, very good. I shouldn't have dropped my tea before, but I wanted to get it while it was good and cold, so I already dropped my tea. But as soon as the program over, I'm going to eat my next meal. because I sure brought it to eat it tonight. So it's soon program over. I'm digging in. So I try not to end early. But thank you all for your well wishes for my birthday. Thank you. I know you all love me. Amen. And I will give it again. I'm going to tell it this time, and I'm going to tell it at the very end. Those of you that want to send me a birthday celebration, you can do it through my Cash App. And that is $PASTORBONNETT. It'll come up with my full name and true word of faith. And whatever you send me, thank you. You can say happy birthday on there. You can tell me to buy me a cupcake or whatever. Thank you so very much in advance. God has been good to me. My family asks me each year what I want for my birthday, and my answer will really be the same. I want to see it. I want to see my birthday. I want to be able to see my family. I want to be able to enjoy it. And so I'm thankful. Even in the midst of certain challenges that I have going on in my life right now, I'm thankful that I'm still alive. I'm thankful that I see the sun rising. Amen. A lot of times when we go through calamity and struggle, it seems dark and we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so we get fearful, we get worried, stress begins to build up, and we start to lose some hope. One of the worst things is we settle for things just being bad, and we stop hoping. And I can remember years ago, God gave me a message on dreaming again. I need to find that. I would like to minister that again in the way that God gave it to me then. Sometimes we think because of constant failure or trouble that we just have to accept things to be bad. And that's not true. We have to accept things not to ever get better. And that's not true. And we have to understand that better days can come, regardless to how bad they seem. And it doesn't matter what scope of life you are in, where you are in your walk with God. Even the strongest of believers can be shaken. Prophet, we find over in 1 Kings chapter, I want to say chapter 18. The prophet Elijah is defending God, and he's the same prophet that prayed and God shut up heaven and it didn't rain for a space of 3.5 years in that area until he prayed again and the rain returned. And there was prophets of Baal that tried to kill him, and God gave him victory over that. And it was just one thing after the other, one thing after the other, one thing after the other. And I think when we get to about chapter 19, we see, and Missionary Ken, if I'm off, correct me. I think it's 1 Kings chapter 19. We see that Prophet Elijah.
Elijah.
Elijah with the J. And the way you remember them is J become before S. The second one was Elisha. The first one is Elijah. And I'm speaking of Elijah. And Elijah, he was 13, chapter 19. I think we see him. He defeated the prophets of Baal. And the king goes to tell his wife, Jezebel. And she threatens him with an oath of his impending doom. And he runs and hides in a cave because he's been threatened with an oath by a queen. And he cries to God about the situation and tell God he's ready to die. Ask God's goal to take him away.
Excuse me, sir. Could you please mute the mics because it's some noise. We want to enjoy the message. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. There we go. I think that's going to take care of those for right now. Apologize if anyone was disturbed by any particular sound that was coming out. Nevertheless, and so he's fearful now. Now he just stood bold and did work miracles, but because it was constantly happening to him, his life. For one moment, he got to the point where he said, "Lord, come on, just take me home. I'm done." and he was weary in his well doing. We see new scriptures tell us, "Be not weary in well doing, for we shall reap if we faint not." But sometimes you do want to give in. Sometimes you do want to stop. Sometimes the troubles of life are just that. They are so troublesome that you don't know what to do. And I think the one of the worst things is when you begin to feel helpless, like whatever you're doing don't really matter. Is when we have those types of thoughts and allow them to linger in our hearts and minds. That's when we allow the enemy to begin to prevail over us. And the enemy is every demonic spirit that's speaking negative in your realm, in your atmosphere, that's assigned to you to see that you're failing and not succeeding. And so it becomes a challenge. And so God had to deal with him and to get over that matter. And so I encourage y'all to go back and read 1 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19 and probably chapter 20. So those three chapters, go back and read those and read that story, how uniquely things happen sometimes, but you got to keep trusting God. You know, he got to the point where he thought he was the only one truly serving God. He thought everybody done went sideways. And sometimes, you know, in our self-righteousness, we can think that we the only one that's doing something good for God, or we the only one that matters. We the only one that's still praying. We the only one that's reading. Mm-mm. God had to tell him, "Hey, wait a minute, I don't preserve for myself 7,000 that ain't never bowed a knee to Baal. So hold them up. You're not my only one. You're not my only servant. You're a good servant, and you're doing good things, but you're not the only one." And so we can't allow life to make us feel like we're the only one. Amen. And so we must overcome that challenge.
One of the things I gave at the beginning of the month, this month we've been talking about being educated, having the right information, because what you don't know can hurt you. But wisdom is a principal thing. So the Bible says, in all our getting, get wisdom. And we're to get understanding as well. So tonight, I wanted to give us, and get to the right age of metabolism now. So I want to talk about learning to stay calm on the stress, in the stress. So learning how to stay calm in stressful situations, I guess if I had to give you a real title, it'd be Staying Calm Under Stress is a Learning Process. So it's not something that any of us can just do all the time without really purposing to do so. But whatever lifestyle we're having and whatever assignment that God has given us, it is a learning process to walk in the call that God has for you. And learning how to stay calm under the stress of that call is for you as an individual to learn how to do that. Tonight, I want to give us some practical things that we can do. Because I know all the time, a lot of times, you know, from the preacher standpoint, we taught the Bible, and that's all good. But I want to give you some practical stuff that goes along with the Word of God to help us learn to stay calm. Now, so staying calm under pressure, that's the big focus, staying calm under pressure. Okay, you remember the serenity prayer I gave in the beginning of the month? You know, God grant me the serenity. Serenity being the state of calmness, okay? A state of peacefulness. It is to be untroubled. So that's what serenity is. Serenity is the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. That's a wonderful state. We all want to stay there. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, I could stop there, and all of us would say, man, that's the serenity prayer. That's what we go with. That's what we email one another. That's what we send on text message. We don't send it on Facebook and so many other platforms and media. But what we do not see is the rest of that prayer. And I think the rest of that prayer is very important. And I don't know why the rest of it haven't been published out there as regular as that portion, but I'm going to read the rest of it. So from the top, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, taking this world as it is and not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right, I surrender to your will so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with the life, or supremely happily with you forever in the next. Amen. And so maybe that's too much of God for them. That's why they didn't really put that, all of that there. Because took away being masters of your own fate. And all these other cliches that want to X God out of the equation. We know Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. And the answer to what things going to be added, all the things that is required for you to fulfill your purpose. And your purpose was designed by the designer, God. And so when we are uncertain of our purpose, we don't ask other things that are seeking their purpose. We go to the one who designed purpose from the beginning. So we turn to the maker. Amen. I want to give you this this imagination, if I can. I want you to think about what if your appliances was animated? And when you leave the house, the vacuum cleaner talked to the washing machine. The washing machine talked to the dishwasher. What if these machines that was in your house, the toaster talking to the microwave? What if the washing machine would say, "What is it that I'm supposed to be doing?" And he said, "Hey, vacuum cleaner, how do I supposed to wash the clothes?" And what if the vacuum cleaner say, "Well, why don't you breathe out and suck real hard? Maybe that'll do it." That's what I do. That's how I clean the floors. I just suck everything up. So, hey, get the sucking. And when you come to get your clothes, you're wondering where they are. You're wondering why some of them are through all those little tiny holes in the drum of the washing machine, torn. Because they received the wrong information. And that's because the washing machine listened to the wrong machine. And just because it works for him didn't mean that that's what his assignment. And so we must be careful whom we're listening to. That's why I love when I share things with you concerning God and his creation. I refer back to the manual called the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instruction before leaving Earth. Because we're going to leave one day. One way or another. We're just going to ask the Creator how to do things about ourselves. But he's given us some wonderful and good people to aid us in that journey. So staying calm under stress is a learning process. So I want to give you about 9 things, maybe 10, to help you overcome stress and the pressures of life. Yeah. So number one, I'm just going to name them, then I do my best to go back and to explain them. Thing you might want to do in overcoming stress is breathe. Because sometimes when issues happen, you go, slow down, breathe, so you pass out. Breathe. Sometimes we have to do what's called a 10 count. You know, that's what a lot of people need to do on these expressways before they catch the road race. Before you sit there, stay on your horn for 10 seconds. Count to 10 first. Sometimes in heated situation where there's heated fellowship, you might need to take a walk. But I was here first. You are one about to blow up. So you take the walk. You could try a 3-minute meditation. Yeah, 3 minutes. That means give yourself a 3-minute timeout so you can reflect on what you're about to do, because you do not want to make a permanent solution for a temporary problem. You can practice gratitude in stressful situations. In other words, find the silver lining. Tell God thank you anyway. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. He said, in all things, not for all things, in all things. But practice gratitude. Just tell God thank you. And the more you start telling thank you, you'll be surprised what began to transform in the midst of your eyes. Something practical, what many of us don't do, eat well, not eat anything, eat well. A lot of times when we're stressed, we binge eat. We eat a lot of candy. We eat a lot of junk food. And you could take that same energy and eat some cashews, some walnuts, some nuts that's going to add to your body. You can eat things that are more healthier. Eat your salad. You know your diet. Eat you some fruit. You know, so we must practice eating well. And sometimes our pressure is really because we're not doing nothing productive, so we're sitting there all day moping. But get moving. Do something. Find something to do. Something positive to do. Then this is one for those that grew up in the hood and something happened and you said, man, I'm going to charge it to the game. And said, huh? Well, for everybody else, that means let it go. Yeah, I'm going to let it go. In other words, yeah, I know I can do something, but nah, we're going to do a charge off on that. Mm-hmm. We're going to let them have that. Mm-hmm. Why? Because what we could do, the repercussion of it is not worth it. So we're going to let them keep it. Amen. We're going to let them keep it. Somebody owe you $50 and they've been dodging you. And instead of you cussing them out, running, doing all this other stuff, let them have it. Let it go. Let it go. Why? Because they're going to need you before you meet them. Let it go. Because if they didn't pay you back that time, guess what? You just bought your freedom. Because they ain't going to be able to ask you for nothing else. Just when they done lied and hid from you. Let it go. Then sometimes we need help. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to help me figure out what's going on in my life. I need some stability. I need somebody to get me grounded. And we have to learn how to get help. You have these groups, you know, if you have an addiction, we have groups that are designed to help you overcome these addictions, and they partner you with someone that you will be responsible to, and they will be responsible to you. And so that the two of you all can help one another stay free from whatever the addiction is. That was just 9, so allow me to add one more to make this 10 to help us and to overcome. And I think this 10th thing is really should be the main thing, so it should have probably been number 1. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead, it should have been number 1. But I'm giving it to you as number 10. And that is that the main thing is that we must know God's word for ourselves and the privileges, the benefit that God's word has promised for us. And our confidence in God's word will bring peace back to us. Why? Because we know for everything under the sun, there is a time and a season. So that means I do have a season for bad things to happen. But just like I have a season for bad things to happen, I also have a season for good things to happen. And then there's a season that's called due season. That means when this person has done wrong, that done wrong, that done wrong, all I got to do is not faint, not give up, not give in. As I stay the course, the Bible says, you shall reap if you faint not. So my season of increase will come before I receive it. And so that's a powerful thing, to know God's word for yourself. Many people are destroyed. The Bible said, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. So many people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. But without wisdom and courage, stress can take any one of us down and out. I was quoting with some stress earlier last week, Brother Six. I thought I was doing pretty decent. And I was getting ready to get my day started. And man, my heart rate just increased out of nowhere. This increase, man, just boom, 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 boom. I'm like, why is my heart beating so hard? And I almost got worried. But then I remembered the scriptures. He will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. So I began to say, okay, Lord, I don't understand why my heart is beating this fast. I know I'm a coffee drinker and that can elevate your heart, but not this much, Lord. My heart rate when I'm drinking coffee is normally this level. I'm sitting down, I'm relaxed, I thought I was. But mentally I was dealing with some other things, some other challenges. And my heart began, I said, you know what, Lord? You said I can cast my cares upon you. So today I'm going to sit down and rest. I'm not doing nothing to my body. Line back up. And I rested. And I refused to think about bills or anything else. And peace and calmness came over me. Not right away, because I had to keep telling myself that. I had to keep telling myself that. Every time my heart would start racing, I had to keep telling myself that. So I know what I'm telling you works, because I've been able to write TP on it. Tried and proven. TP. Tried and proven. We have to realize that our life is, many of us, our life is a fast place. It's that fast-pacing, high-performance world. That's right. That's what kind of world we live in now. And it's full of stressful situations, from paying bills, you know, to going to school, work deadlines, traffic jams, demanding jobs, trying to fill out college education, trying to get out of college, trying to graduate, you know, building family, injuries, illnesses. You know, I'm telling you, and COVID-19 sent the world through the ringer, their theology, their philosophy, and everything else, and put fear in a whole nother category all by it oneself. And so, and the list just goes on and on and on from that. So many things that can cause us to be overwhelmed by stress or the pressure of life. But there are things that we can do to help us. To be mindful that when we let those things start prevailing in our lives, that chronic stress, it may affect other things in our lives if we don't put it under control. It can cause you to have an increase in risk of serious illnesses. That means if you're not getting the proper rest, if you allow things to overwhelm your mind, your body don't do well from a simple cold. The cold supposed to last you 3 days. You done had it for 3 weeks because you allow stress to overwhelm your body. So now your body healing factors don't want to kick in right. It can deal with heart disease because if you're having constant heart problems, whether you have high cholesterol or regular cholesterol levels, it can add things to you, especially if you're dealing with things like diabetes. Your whole body chemistry can be unbalanced because of stress. And so we can't allow stress to take us out because we won't cast our cares upon the Lord. We won't take God's word as it is. We try to make it what we want it to be. And remember the serenity prayer. Just remember that. He said, enjoy one moment at a time, taking this world as it is and not as I would have it. See? So, and we have to be mindful. Even in drinking and smoking, some people want to justify their reason for drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes, cigars, or marijuana, or doing any other type of drugs. People try to justify that. But stress usually are the factors that drive those things. When you have a stressful job, thing you want to do when you get off the job is go by the bar. And you justify it because you have issues at the home and happy hour is from 5 to 7. And instead of paying 3 times the amount for your drink, you're only going to pay 1.5 times. But it makes sense to you, and you stay there, and you cash your cares in a bottle. As you talk to the bartender about your crazy boss and all the issues you have to deal with and all the injustice in the world, yet you're still racking up a bill and by the time you get home, where have you been? And you're just like, oh, another argument. Stay where I was. And you allow that stress to keep compounding. And it's easy to happen to anybody. And so we allow these other devices to take over in our life and to run our life and to be our outlet. God never intended for us to turn to alcohol. You know what they call alcohol? Spirits. The question is, we're drinking these spirits. Do you really understand what type of spirits you're taking on? So lack of physical activity. Lack of physical activities can cause us to lose mobility, flexibility. And so when you have issues like arthritis and stiffness of the joints, these things begin to wear on you, the pain of them, so on and so forth. So the struggle becomes hard. We begin to be overheated, overwhelmed. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 says to us, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, that means your getting, with all your getting, get. James chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, if conditional, any, it didn't say saved or unsaved, if any man, I like it, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. That means God is waiting to give anybody. Because he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all, black, white, yellow, red, young, old, don't matter, all men liberally, and unbridleth not, and it shall be given him. God want to do that. He wants us to be at peace. God did not give us this world to be tormented by it. But because of our disobedience, he did make the ground hard for us. So when you find yourself anxious or overwhelmed, what can you do? Well, again, I named them earlier, but here's a few tips to help you deal with stressful situations. Tip number one, breathe. Take a few slow and deep breaths. Take those deep breaths to allow oxygen into your body. That oxygen goes and it takes away, it pulls stress out, but it sends aid to your organs and other areas of your body that can be tensing up because of your hyperventilating or your stressful moment that you're having, your tense moment. So take a few deep breaths and breathe. Focus on your breathing. Focus on it. Focus on inhaling and filling that air, fill your lungs. And imagine as that filling your lungs, all the oxygen that's flowing through your entire body. You can really begin to imagine that the stress in your shoulder is now going away. And instead of it being tense and tight, you can feel your as you take those deep breaths slowly and release slowly, you can feel yourself releasing the tension and distress. You can envision time you breathe out slowly, that you're pushing out all of your negativity, and you can do it. Breathe in, count to three, hold it, let it work. Then breathe out, count to three, breathe in, hold it, count to three, breathe out, count to three, breathe in. And take those moments. And one of the things that breathing does for you, it helps your body to reset. It is said that if you take 10 deep breaths and release them slowly, that the reset switch that deals with your emotions and stress, it is pressed. And so now you can begin to focus on where you really need to be at, what you really need to be thinking of. So as you begin to do those breathing exercises, you want to focus or do your best in relaxing your muscles. Take that frown off your face. Stop frowning. Frowning adds stress to your body and wrinkles to your face. Stop making yourself ugly. Let go of all of that tension out your face, at your jaw. Stop looking like you're ready to bite somebody. Let your shoulders relax. Release that pressure. Amen. Then, number two, count to 10. By the time you get to 10, that first reaction, which was going to be a bad reaction, because it was going to be just that, it was going to be a reaction, not a proaction. Take that time. It says, in the time it takes you to do so, you may be able to look at your situation with a fresh pair of eyes. Time you count to 10, when you look at what's going on or when you examine what's happening, you'll have more options that may be more beneficial to you. Now, there is an exception to all of this. Men, someone broke into your home and began to cause or attempt to cause bodily harm to your family, yet your breathing was to find your pistol or find you something to defend your family. I'm not an advocate for violence, but I am not an advocate for you to be a pushover neither. God never told us to do that. And anybody that says that don't even understand. Your job is to protect, husband. Something went bump. Don't send your wife to the door to fix what's going on. You get up, mister, and go see about that. So there's a time and place for all of this. You know, you hear your daughter screaming. Ain't no time to do no 10 seconds. Nuh-uh. God have mercy. That's about the only thing you're thinking. Because you have to act fast. We ain't talking about all of it. I believe every man's supposed to protect his home. And if you believe in owning your own gun, a shotgun, it is there for protection. Anybody crazy enough to break in your home while you and your family there, you can't assume that they didn't mean you no harm. You want to break in my house? Wait till we leave. Because if you break in here while we're in here, I'm just going to assume that you mean us no good. I know y'all, some don't like that, but that's all right. Been here, I got something for you. I just what it is now. I don't make no excuses about it. I believe in this scripture, lay hands on the sick. I'm sorry. Keep on going, preacher. So take that 10 count. It takes, taking that 10 count will give you an opportunity to look at things with fresh eyes. If I'm in an argument with somebody, I don't assume to hurt them, and I don't assume that they're going to hurt me. But me taking the moment to breathe and to evaluate what's really going on, my soft answer can turn away wrath. So to keep him from hurting me or me from hurting them or him, sometimes we need to breathe, take a moment, and think about the situation differently. Okay. And then that take a walk. I gave you two already. Breathe, count to 10. Three is take a walk. Husband, and put your hand on your wife to hurt her. And women, please stop provoking your husband to lay his hand on you. Just because he's angry, do not say to him, "What, you going to hit me?" Don't suggest that to any man, your husband or somebody else. Because somebody may get up with the attitude, "I wish a joker would." And joker is the mild word that I'm talking about. Y'all know. So sometimes it's best for you to take that walk. Walk away. When you know that you've already been weighed down with certain levels of stress and things begin to be so heated that you're really not thinking straight and you're feeling anger raging on the inside, walk away. That is not a coward move. As much as life within you, live peacefully with all men. My son, in the men's meeting a while back, he asked, he says, "But what if it's not in you?" Because I quoted the scripture. The Bible says, "As much as life within you, live peacefully with all men." And it sounded real good. I got one question in you, to live peacefully with all men. And my answer is, that's when you walk away. May the Lord watch between me and thee while you are absent one from another. So when things get to the point where you can't coexist, leave. I left in my, I think I was 19. I left a job that I was good at because I had a manager. I was a cook before I switched over to retail. Young man, 19 years old, I was very flamboyant, charismatic. I was real popular with people. I just had that over-bubbling joy attitude. And when I say all the waitresses like me, I meant just that. And one of the assistant managers was liking one of the waitresses that would. They meant nothing about it, but it was just how you played sometimes when you fun with people. You throw those flirtation slurs out, and you you're not meaning nothing physically, but that's just the behavior or the talk may be in that way of and make people think it's more than what's going on. But he was trying to get with her, but she was very friendly to me and nice to me, and he was very jealous of that. And he took it upon himself when the general manager was away and abused that relationship. After the DM had showed me the ropes, and I had moved up and filled in a position of the head cook for that particular staff next. And they asked me, please stay. They were going to deal with him. I said, no, if he's working here, I can't work with him, because what he did, all respect that I had for him as a man. And I have a child that I'm raising. And so because of that, I can't jeopardize being sent to jail for what may happen if he crossed this line again. And as much as I need this job and want it, I can't stay another day. And I mean the DM for the restaurant, with over several restaurants in the city, for that company, came and talked with me. And when I explained to him what happened, he said, well, I respect you, sir. That's, and I understand. I wish you could reconsider rather. But I knew that my level of patience was completely gone. And I'm 19. At that time, I wasn't very valid, but I came up in the hood. And there was a rule, if I think you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you so fast. I'm sorry, that's just what it was now. If it looked like you were going to do something to me, I'm going to get you first. And that's just where it was. But because of that principle, and I knew because I grew up in the church, I couldn't stay because the peace wasn't in me. So I did what was best. I stayed free. I stayed out of jail. I gave up a job. I'm so glad that I obeyed my grandmama. She was teaching me back then, or taught me back then, when you get a check, you don't spend all your money. Put some away. So I was glad that I obeyed that principle. And a lot of people are broke today because when we get a little money, we spend it all. We don't tithe. We don't save. And we don't have any plans. And that's another message, so I'm going to get back to where I was. So walk away. If possible, remove yourself from the stressful situation by stepping out for a walk. Try to focus on your environment rather than the stressor, the person that was provoking you. Sometimes just a few minutes will help put the situation into perspective. Don't make a temporary decision permanent outcome. Okay. Sometimes when you're in home and or you're on your break time, you could try a 3-minute meditation. And the Bible tells us how to meditate. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, so on and so forth. So it tells us how to meditate. So we can try a 3-minute meditation. That's finding a quiet place, positioning yourself comfortably, and closing your eyes. That's to shut out the outside world. Take a few deep breaths, going back to that breathing, and noticing how you feel. if you feel the tension, if you feel that, you know, you that's when you insert gratitude, telling God thank you for life, and thank you that situations are not as bad as it could be. And you focus on just releasing the tension, letting it go. And you focus on your body recovering. Amen. So allow your thoughts to drift, and you know, you got to be careful by allowing it to drift anywhere. So with this, I will add maybe having a soft gospel song, Christian song, playing in the background real low. And if you are asking God anything, after you ask, listen. Most time when we pray, we ask God this and we tell God that, but we don't listen. If you're going to take that moment to do that, you want to make sure you are taking that moment to meditate on what you need to be doing, how you need to be doing it. You want to control your breathing. And then when you open your eyes, you want to focus on the task at hand and get about and go about doing it. Practicing gratitude. I mentioned that just a moment ago. But practicing gratitude is finding something positive, something for which you can be thankful for. Every dark cloud has a silver lining. You just have to look for it. So learn to tell God thank you for situations just as they are. Don't begin to tell God what he should have done or what he didn't do. Don't do that. Don't fall into that trap. Eating well. I hope y'all enjoying this and it's blessing you. Hopefully you're taking notes, taking mental notes or writing down notes. The program will be on demand, and so you'll be able to go back and listen to it. But hopefully it's giving you some solutions on helping you to deal with pressure, helping you to overcome your stressful situations in your life. And all of us have them at some point or another. Okay? Eat well. That's right. Eat well. It's not an attack on anyone that is overweight, because you have some people that their metabolism is fast, but they still have diabetes. They skinny. They still have heart disease. This is not fully about your weight. And I say it that way because one of the things that I did before I turned 50 is I was praying and asking God what to do about my health. And I asked God to help me not turn 50 as overweight as I was. And God gave me a formula for me to do that caused me to lose 30 pounds. And when I lost those 30 pounds, my heart rate got better. My blood pressure levels was better. And they took me off the diabetes medicine that I was on. My sugar level had regulated properly. And so eating well is very important for your health, dealing with the stress in your body and your life, because sometimes your stress situation is because you're overweight or because you're having issues with what you're eating. You know, I don't care how much you love fried chicken. If you're having cholesterol problems, and have blood pressure and those things elevated, then you're going to have to love it less. And manage when you can do it. Saying you can't never do it, but instead of eating fried food 5 days a week, reduce it down to 3. Learn to give your body what it needs so that it can give you what you need. So good nutrition is an important stress management tool. Managing blood sugar levels by eating a nutritious, which is ideally a high-protein, low-sugar breakfast and a snack on a daily, on a healthy food or healthy food throughout the day. Unhealthy bodies can lead to unhealthy mindset. So, and this deals with, you can act from this point, you can start dealing with smoking and drinking, because if you don't have a healthy mindset, then those particular behaviors become increasing in your life more. Regardless of how much you may like smoking, it is not healthy for you. And you can't say, well, my uncle lived to be 90 years old. He smoked. Stop that. Because we don't know what grace did for them. Okay? So, yeah, so you can't base your eating habits on someone else in your family. You got to look at your life. And find out what you need to be doing for you. It's not about them, it's about you. So just because somebody else can do it don't mean you can. All things are lawful but not expedient. So just because they can eat pork and ham and bacon every day and they look mean and they look lean rather, not mean. They look lean fighting machines, they got muscles on top of muscles. Well, you don't know their workout resonance. You don't know how much calories they're burning. So you don't know. So you really can't compare apples to oranges. And we must stop doing that. Okay? Get moving. Like I got to do with the rest of this, so I can get done. Get moving. Exercise is a great stress buster. It releases endorphins that act as natural pain killers and improve your ability to sleep better. It reduces stress, period. So get moving. There's nothing better than when you worked hard and you come home and you eat a nice dinner, you maybe sit around and watch a program or talk to your spouse, and you fall off to sleep, seem like the best sleep you ever get because you're restful. And you get that, that's when the 8 hours in, man, you get up the next day, you feel like you can conquer the world. But you had to do some things the day before that made this day better, okay? So remember that each day, what I do today can determine or will determine my tomorrow. Let it go. Ask yourself if the thing causing the stress, is it really worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth me giving you 10 minutes of my life that I'm never going to get back to argue with you about whether or not we're going to have baked chicken or fried chicken? Come on. Is that really worth it? Because sometimes some things that we argue over are really silly. Some things that family members get into it with, if some of the silly things You know Auntie's cuckoo was a thief. No, I didn't. She ain't no thief. But yes, she is. You know it. Everybody know it. And y'all sitting there arguing for 30 minutes to an hour about somebody else's life. Let it go. Let it go. Well, that's just how we talk sometimes, you know. We just talk like that. And you wonder why your chest hurt. You wonder why it's hard for you to breathe. You wonder why you need an asthma pump. Because you're holding on things that you don't need to hold on to. And you're not mindful of your own body. And sometimes our body says, hey, I need rest. And we don't know how to let it go so our body can get rest. And we don't let things go. And then stuff happens to us. And instead of us letting it go, unforgiveness, which as Christians, we'll be practicing forgiveness. You know, it's in the prayer. Forgive me for my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. So it's in the prayer. And so if it wasn't important, why did Jesus tell us to do it? Just forgiveness, let it go. Considering it in a border contact might. Okay, yeah. Considering that if you just let it go, you charge it to the game, you let them have it, consider that you really done took the bite out of it. I remember one time, I'm not going to name the person, was fussing at me about something. And I said to them, I said, okay, I heard what you said. So what do you want? Do you want to fight about it or do you want to resolve it? They said, I mean, huh? I repeated it. What do you want to do? You want to fight about it? Or you want to resolve it? And they began to fuss again. I said, so it don't seem like you're trying to resolve it. You just want to fight. Because there's no solution in what you're saying. So you win. So that's what you're saying about me? Okay. I accept it. Now what? And you believe it or not, that was probably one of the fastest sites that I surrender, which you may have said, well, you lost the fight. No. In the end, I won. Because I surrendered and I wasn't subdued. There's a difference. And when we learn that, God can help us. Then finally get help. Sometimes you got to pick up the phone and call a trustworthy person. I said, I just need to vent. And I said, call a trustworthy person because once you finish venting, you need somebody to tell you whether or not all your statements, your answers that came out, did they make sense or not? You know, that's going to give you some positive and for real solid foundational truth about all the foolishness you just let go. Whether we're good, bad, right, or wrong. You need somebody that will tell you, okay, now what? What's your plan? What you going to do? How you going to get it done? You know, you need somebody to bring some solutions to the table for you. Say, well, how have you tried this? Is it possible to do that? And you need somebody that's going to help you overcome the overwhelming situation in your mind that will help you find a happy medium, something you can deal with. And you may need professional help. And please don't feel embarrassed because you're a Christian seeking professional help. Now, I would encourage that you talk to your local pastor first. And if your church has counseling or counselor within their midst, to seek them first before you seek outside counselors. I do encourage that first, because there's a difference in our precept between those that are saved and those that are not saved. Our precepts are different. And so because of that difference, you want to make sure you get the right help, someone that has the right understanding. Amen. And having some help is better than no help. I'm going to say it again. Having some help is better than no help. And last but not least, know the word of God for yourself. Sometimes you could just turn to your concordance, and based on the topic of what you're dealing with, you can find it in your concordance and look up those scriptures that deals with that subject and begin to read. There's thousands, hundreds of thousands of teachings, biblically teaching, about any subject of life that the Bible have answers to. And you can look it up. So there's help out there. And so don't be deceived. Help is available. You just have to desire it. And then when help comes your way, don't shoot the messengers. Don't kill your help. Okay? And I think that's all I have for you all tonight. Once again, tomorrow is my birthday. And as the Lord allow my name to make the woke list one more time, I just want to tell him now early, thank you. I'm so glad for another year to be alive, to be with my family, to have my family. I'm not in jail. I'm not locked away from them. They're not locked up away from me. So I am thankful for what God has given me. And to all of you that want to send me a financial birthday gift, you can send it to me through Cash App, and that'll be fine. And that is $ Pastor Bonnet. That is PASTORBONNETT. And my name will come up, Kenneth Bonnet, True Word of Faith. And I have a little picture of myself up there. And whatever you give, I say thank you. If you want to buy me a cup of coffee, thank you. Buy me a bottle of creamer, thank you. Yes, I still drink coffee. Me and my son was talking about it. He said, Dad, you going? He said, because I told him about my heart racing last week. He said, you might have to switch to decaf. I said, I'll water it down before I go to decaf. I might as well stop then. I don't want no decaf. But that's just my take on it. Let me open these lines back up so that y'all can say something if you like. Thank you very much again. God bless each of you. Do I have any questions about what I've given tonight?
No.
Is there any confidence?
Good message the whole way there, and I appreciate the actually you going through the whole Serenity Prayer, so that, because I never actually heard the whole thing myself, and I was glad you did that. Also, Pastor Bonnet, I do need you to give me a jingle right after the show.
Okay. All right. I'll pause my eating for about 2-3 minutes to give you that call. Any longer than that, I will be smacking. That's
amen.
Six, you enjoyed it?
I did. I enjoyed it. Thank you for the message. And for myself and the 55 Radio Network team, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Enjoy.
Thank you. Don't Missionary Ken have a program tomorrow? What time is it?
The only program tomorrow is 6 and Road at 8 p.m. right here on this very same station. You call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, Station 1.
Didn't the Braille program come back?
Yeah, that was today, and that time was moved up to 6 p.m., so it was just before your show, and we had a great show.
Okay. I was looking for that. All right. I had it on the wrong date. Okay.
Yeah, all and right. Before you get out of here, please check that Facebook box down there so they can enjoy Motivation on Monday right after we get off. Amen.
Amen. Well, we definitely want to just press that button. So it do have it. If I may say so,
once again, happy birthday to you tomorrow. Happy birthday to Pride and Joy tomorrow. Happy birthday to Will Smith today. Everybody celebrating a birthday in September. And continue prayers for the artist from the legendary group Crazy Bone of Bone Thugs and Harmony underwent surgery today. So we just want the Lord to guide the surgeon's hands. And we're wishing Crazy Bone of the legendary group Bone Thugs and Harmony a speedy recovery from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Definitely want to do that. With special prayer for Sister Emily. She had her cellular provider has gotten on her last nerve already. So we're going to pray she stay calm. Amen. And deal with what she has to deal with. A lot of times these cell phone providers, depending on your area, and you really have to check out what you're signing up for. 'Cause she called me yesterday just before I preached the second sermon, and she was upset. about them. And so, amen. But I love all of you with the love of Christ. And to any of our listeners out there, if you don't know Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if you haven't received him as your personal sin bearer, that means you haven't repented, you haven't been baptized, and you didn't confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to encourage you to do so. 10:9-10 tell us to confess with our mouth and believe with our heart. But Brother Peter told us to repent and be baptized. Jesus himself tells us to baptize others. And so we want you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We want you to be baptized. We want you to make positive confession, true heart confession of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and asking him to forgive you all unrighteousness and to change your life and to make you a better person, regardless of what you've done that you don't think that was so bad. All it took was that said at the beginning, any word you uttered that was against God, that was bad enough. So let us trust God, take him at his word, He said it. That settles it. It's up to us to work on getting it there like he wants us to have it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening program. We thank you for life just as it is. Lord God, we ask, Lord God, that you give us courage to make change, make difference, those things which you have already charged us to do. Help us to fulfill our purpose. Continue to cover our families from unseen hurt, harm, or danger. Give us traveling mercy as we travel. We thank you for life. We thank you for teaching us how to love one another. And thank you so very much for loving us just as we are. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for developing us to who we need to be. We love you today, and we thank you. It is in Jesus' name we pray and receive all these blessings. Amen and amen. We're dismissed. God bless all of you. Until the next time, peace.
Good night, America.